The business world is global today, and Leonard and Ronald Lauder established the Lauder Institute to prepare leaders to speak the global language of business, culture, and politics. Today's segment of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast for graduate school applicants, is going to focus on the Lauder Institute, which offers an MA in International Studies in conjunction with the Wharton School and Penn Law. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast, the 29th Admission Straight Talk Show. As I do at the beginning of every podcast, I want to introduce you to a different resource at Accepted that will help you as you complete your applications. For those of you interested in an MBA, I suggest you check out MBA Admissions A to Z, 26 terrific tips to help you get accepted. This will help you when you're applying to Wharton or any top MBA program. It has tips on everything from writing about your goals to writing about your weaknesses, with 24 others in between. Practical and concise, it can be downloaded for free, and I'll include a link in the show notes at info.accepted.com/29. Let me introduce today's guest, Dr. Marcy Bevin, Director of Admissions and External Affairs for the Lauder Institute and the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Bevin has been with Lauder for over 20 years, but for most of the Lauder Institute's existence. She brings not only incomparable insights into this fantastic program, but a unique perspective on professional education to prepare global business leaders. Let's take a trip around the world this morning, or whenever it is that you're going to be listening to this podcast, and explore what a truly international business education can and should be. Welcome, Marcy.
Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. Can you describe the Wharton Lauder program to our listeners and to me?
The Lauder Institute, which was established 30 years ago, we just had a big birthday party, is a joint degree program where you get an MA in International Studies at the same time you get an MBA. This is a 24-month program where the students enter in May of each year and spend 1 month on campus taking two classes. And because language and regional interest is a huge part of the program, they spend the next 2 months, the first summer, in the country or countries that correspond to the language that they have when they enter the program. The entering requirement for a language is the advanced level in a second language, not your primary language, and we offer 10 different programs. Our latest program is the global program, where you need advanced proficiency in two languages, and that summer is spent in three different places, but I can talk about that more later.
Yeah, I actually have a question about that for later, so we do want to hear more about it, but go ahead. So now, is the Lauder Institute now just with Wharton, just with MBA, or is it also with MBA? It's also with JDs.
Well, we have a JD MA program that does not give you the MBA, but for law school students who have finished 1 year of law school, they are encouraged to apply to the Lauder Institute after their first year of law school, and they can start then. Typically, law school is 3 years, so they spend the last 2 years doing Lauder.
Right. They complete both degrees in 3 years, correct?
That's right. Yes. There's a JD MBA program which is offered through Wharton, but that does not have anything to do with Lauder. We don't do three degrees at the same time.
Oh my goodness. Overload.
Yeah.
Real overload. And I guess one of the differences between the MBA MA and the JD MA is that you are accepted to Wharton Lauder, you know, at the same time as you're accepted to Wharton, but for the JD option, you first are accepted to Penn Law, and then you apply to Lauder from within Penn Law. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In the beginning, and with rare exceptions, we would accept somebody's application at the same time they're applying to Penn Law, because there are people who want to go to Penn Law because of Lauder, so that they want to make sure in advance that they have been accepted at both programs. But it is not a joint application. We don't consider it the same time with Penn Law. They consider it separately, whereas with Wharton it is very much of a joint application process.
Got it. Okay. Now, I was privileged to visit actually Wharton in June with the Association of International Graduate Admission Consultants. And I heard a presentation on the Lauder program given by Dr. Mauro Gann. And there were a few points I took away from his talk, which was very dynamic and very engaging. He's an excellent speaker. Number one is Lauder is intense. You either earn the MBA and MA in International Studies in 2 years, or the JD MA in 3 years. Basically, you're squeezing that master's program at the same time that it would take you to get either of those two professional degree programs. The second thing he emphasized is that this is a program that's very much driven, or the students in the program are very much driven by intellectual curiosity and really high motivation passions for the particular region that they're focusing on. And the third item that he emphasized to us was that the program is very well funded, so no student should be deterred by the cost of the program. Could you comment on these three points?
Yes, absolutely. The first point was about the intensity of the program, and by that, each of the students takes two extra classes per semester. So sometimes they're taking seven classes per semester, which creates the intensity.
Yeah.
By itself, Wharton is a very rigorous curriculum and has literally hundreds of possible extracurricular activities available. So when I am talking to candidates, what I say is think of Lauder as taking up some of your extracurricular slots. And I think that it is a passion for the students who become involved in it. So nobody is able to do 200 activities at Wharton. So they have to be selective in what they do anyway, as does somebody who's just going to Wharton. You can't do everything. So I have never heard anybody who regretted doing the program. It doesn't mean that it's not intense, because it is. But a lot of the things that they do with Lauder are what they love. And the community of people here makes it all worthwhile. As far as extra, the funding is concerned, through the generosity of the Lauder family, indeed we do have generous fellowships where available. We primarily fund students in the first year of the program because it is more expensive, because there are the expenses of the first summer, the time on campus, in addition to the travel during the first summer, and then the classes throughout the year. So sometimes we are able to give funding in the second year, but basically our funding for the first year is very substantial towards the cost of the degree. And the third question was
about the intellectual curiosity. That was something that Dr. Gann really emphasized in his presentation to us.
Yeah, I think that the students are going way beyond what the foundation of simply business education involves. They are learning about, in the classroom, actually what goes on in regions around the world, not only from their classmates, but from cases which are presented. So it's somebody who doesn't want a domestically focused career. They want to know absolutely what's going on around the world, both in terms of culture as well as actual concrete examples of business being done in other places. And as far as a student's focus on a region is concerned, we believe, as we did when the program was founded, that a deep knowledge about one particular region enables you to adapt to a secondary region should you find yourself in a part of the world which wasn't included in your actual studies. If you look at where the students end up, the last time I did a study, way over 60% of the students had lived outside of the country, and that doesn't mean going home to the country that they came from. And the vast majority of others have internationally focused careers, even if they're domestically located. But people don't always end up in the region that corresponds to the language they studied. England is the second largest concentration after New York City of where our alumni are, and of course the primary language there is English, so I don't know how you count that, but you can do business all over Europe when you're based in England and in Asia. So languages are brought into play, and we've got people in China who were in the Spanish program and people in Russia who were in the French program, et cetera, et cetera. But when you get to a place where you don't necessarily speak the language, you are able to recognize the cultural cues and understand that business is done very differently there because of your previous training.
You probably also have the training to figure out the cultural cues, to figure out how to adapt because you've already done it.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right, wonderful. And you mentioned earlier that Wharton Lauder just celebrated its 30th anniversary, the Lauder Institute just celebrated its 30th anniversary. And you've been with Lauder for over 20 years. Other than technology, which is obviously huge and a major change in the last 20 years that we're, you know, all dealing with, adapting to, especially if we are digital immigrants and over 30. What are some of the more significant changes in the program that you've seen, and how do you see it changing over the next few years?
We used to have an English program. We don't have that program anymore. So that was something that changed 10 years ago. And we've also added three new programs, the Arabic program in the early 2000s and the Hindi program 3 years ago. And then this year, the global program. And let me just take a minute to talk about the global program, and then we'll go on with other changes. The global program is for people who already speak two or more languages at an advanced or superior level and who are not interested in continuing their language studies but who want to learn more about business around the world. So they have no language classes while they're here, and their two extra classes are things like international negotiation. They spend their summer this year. They spent a week in Washington, D.C., and then they went to two different places in China, then Singapore, then Africa, then London, so that they were looking at two industries across all of those continents. They were looking at energy and agriculture, so that they had a sense of how those industries were faring in the different regions that they spent time in. And it seems to have been quite a popular program, so I think that it will continue in that direction. The Culture Quest is something which is new, which is like the Amazing Race, and they've done this. This was student organized, and they've done it for the past three summers, a 10-day exploration of another region. They've been in South Africa this year. They were in Vienna and Turkey, and they have to go interviewing a bunch of people along the way and not using any airplanes to get from one location to the next, and writing a paper.
Right. I was looking. I think, actually, when I was in Philadelphia, Dr. Gann was talking about it, and it sounded to me like it was one gigantic treasure hunt.
Yes, right, and pretty much fun at the same time. The GKL, which is the Global Knowledge Lab, is something which was started with Dr. Guillen's arrival, and it gets the students focused on writing what is a dissertation-like paper sooner than they used to. It used to be that in January of their second year, they were saying, oh, I need a topic, but now that is very much integrated into their studies over the two-year period of time, and get some focus beginning with their first summer on research, which eventually becomes published in Knowledge at Wharton. So it's an important substantive focused group and then individual project. And that is funded by the Lauder Institute. It also takes people to the region that corresponds with their language in doing 10 days worth of research in that area during their second summer. So the way the summers work, I know that you had a question about that, is the first summer is prior to the time that Wharton starts. That is the cultural and linguistic immersion. And the second summer, our students generally do the GKL research for about 10 days, but they probably have 16 weeks during that summer. And they work. They do internships the same way as the Wharton students do. Sometimes in the region that corresponds with their language. In some cases, if they can't get an internship which is fully paid, we do have fellowships available to supplement their work in that region because we think it's important. And the industries that they pursue correspond pretty much with any business school students, sometimes in different locations, but they do investment banking and consulting and industry and nonprofit general management programs.
But just with a more international flavor, I would assume.
Yes, yes, one hopes.
Right.
40% of our students are international, so, you know, the way you and I might define international sitting in the United States doesn't necessarily correspond to the way somebody who comes from a different country defines international.
Sure. How do the admissions requirements for Wharton Lauder differ from those for Wharton?
We require everything that Wharton does, and obviously we first of all look at numbers, we look at their GMAT or GRE scores, and we look at grades. We look at the work they've done and where they've done it,
mm-hmm.
and the rate of promotion. We look at what they've done outside of work. For us, additionally, the students need to take a language test, which is administered by phone. And the location of the way to find out how to get your OPI, which is oral proficiency interview, is on our website. So they have a half an hour conversation with somebody in the language that they're applying to Lauder for. We also look at international experience. And somebody who's done a study abroad, that's fine. But we don't want somebody who's never been out of the country that they live in, because sometimes they think it's, you know, just a great opportunity to travel, and it's way more than that. Now, there are occasions when somebody has worked with international teams and they really have not worked outside of the country, and that's fine. Their curiosity runs deeper, but we want them to have some previous exposure to something beyond the confines of their own country.
And Wharton Lauder students need to be fluent in at least one other language besides English, and obviously they have to be fluent in English too, correct?
They need to speak English. That's, you know, that's part of the
obviously.
Requirement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their other language is one of the ones that we offer, and they need
mm-hmm.
to be at an advanced level. And this is on a 5-point scale. Advanced is a 2 from the bottom.
Okay.
I'm hoping my English is at the level 5, but that would be my native language. So they know they have good experience with the language. But there's much more to learn, particularly professionally.
All right, so they don't have to be like a native speaker in the language.
We wouldn't accept a native speaker in the language. Now, for the global program, the languages do not have to be the ones that we offer. We like one of them to be one of the ones that we offer, and the second language can be something that is not in the 9 languages that we offer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Can you discuss or give a few examples of some of the 8-week summer immersions?
There's an affiliation with a local university in each of the instances
mm-hmm.
that they spend, generally speaking, they spend mornings studying
mm-hmm.
In the classroom. And they spend afternoons doing corporate visits. They go visit a variety of different companies, not ones necessarily that have anything to do with where they would like to work,
mm-hmm.
but ones which will give an explanation of what typical business in that region is. So they visit factories. They visit offices. Some of the places that they visit are totally typical, but they're exposed to a broad range of industries. I was in Paris when the French group was there a couple of years ago, and we went to a place which was established by a Wharton grad called Wine One, and he has this wine bar where you buy a ticket with a certain amount of money on it when you go in and use the ticket to get to take your samples of the different kinds of wine. So he was explaining how he developed the concept of this way to taste and sell wine, and how well it was doing, and then we had the Lauder alumni come at the end of the presentation so they could meet the current students.
That must have been a very fun field trip.
in most of, and then sometimes they go outside of the city. The French group, for instance, goes and spends 10 days in Morocco. They also do leave Paris for visits to see what goes on in other parts of the country. In China, they go to Shanghai, Beijing, and they spend a week in Taiwan. In Japan, they don't leave the country, but they're not the whole time in Tokyo. The Spanish group goes to, these days it goes to Colombia for Bogota, and then it goes to Lima, Peru for a month. This year when they were in Lima, one of our former students who spent 15 years as a banker, and she was in the French program, and she's Peruvian, and she is interested in micro enterprise, so she established a fund, and they bought a bank out in the very much in the hinterlands in Peru, so she took the students to visit that bank.
Wow.
Which was outside of the city of Lima and probably outside any of their experiences to see how the people lived and what $500 loans meant in their lives.
Huh.
So they visit our alumni, they visit Wharton alumni, they visit professionals whose acquaintance they have met over the years. They also do research, starting with their GKL project. So that is intense. I mean, anybody who thinks they're going away to have a summer in Paris is actually in class. in quote class the entire time.
Okay. Can you give a couple of examples of some of the research projects that were part of the Global Knowledge Lab?
I actually went online so that there are examples of the GKL projects online, so I would encourage anybody who's interested in the program to go learn about that on the web pages. But the requirement for the GKL entails writing an article for the school's online business journal, which is, as I said, Knowledge at Wharton during the summer immersion.
Uh-huh.
They have to conduct in-depth research and write a report in teams of 5 students under the supervision of a Wharton and a School of Arts and Science faculty member. So, what is described on the website in terms of different projects involved, one is culture and consumption, one is entrepreneurship and development, one is new international investors, one is energy and the environment, and then there's one public-private partnerships. But for instance, energy and the environment, teams of Lauder students have examined the viability of electric automobile engines, required infrastructure for electric cars, ethanol fuels, mass transit solutions, and ecological tourism. They've done this in Japan, Brazil, Mexico, and the Galapagos Islands. Under the category of culture and consumption, for 3 different years, different teams of Lauder students have studied how food consumption patterns change over the course of economic development, focusing on the urban and rural areas of Mexico, Brazil, China, Russia, India, and Egypt. They've also conducted research on the emergence of new markets for luxury goods in China and Russia, and on the prospects for green luxury goods and services. So to some extent, there are some projects which are in place, and the students then want to plug into existing projects, and sometimes groups of students will have a common area of interest and be able to meet and craft a study project which meets all of their individual and collective needs, and they have to get approval of professors to pursue that. But
so they typically will take a topic and explore it in different areas of the world, correct?
It should, the area of the world in which they do their research, the team generally has people from different regions on it, and the place that you do your own research should be in a place that speaks the language that you're focused on, unless you've received a superior in that language, in which case you're free to go wherever. But, you can go to Africa to explore if you have French. You can go, so that there is a lot more flexibility in where you go than it might seem.
Okay. What roles and positions do graduates typically go into? I mean, is there anything distinctive, let's say, about the roles that they go into versus Wharton grads or Penn Law grads?
I think it rolls with the economy to some extent.
It makes sense.
You know, it used to be that investment banking was extremely popular, and that happens more in economic centers than it does in general. So investment bankers who were in the China program end up in Hong Kong. Investment bankers who speak European languages tend to end up in Europe, and obviously the New Yorkers and the Latin American experts end up in the United States. Consulting is definitely popular. There are entrepreneurs over the past several years. I've noticed that there's a trend in terms of that and socially responsible investing. There are also people who go into rotating general management programs where they end up working in three different places around the world, and that's increasingly popular. We've had several students who have gotten jobs through the GKL research that they've done and working with companies as they've done their research. There's somebody at DuPont in Brazil now who met the person who hired him through doing his research there. They tend to work on international positions, although not necessarily located outside the United States. But the when they go do their overseas assignments can vary hugely. Some people go immediately after graduation to a location where they never leave. And I can tell you a couple of examples of recent transfers. One person who graduated in the year 2000 has been working in California ever since, has just moved to Singapore to go work for LinkedIn.
Really?
Another woman who graduated in 1987 and has worked for media operations located in New York the entire time has just moved to Beijing to be the head of Condé Nast there.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, and she graduated 25 years ago. So
right.
There's no telling when this international opportunity is going to present itself, and it depends on other choices that you make regarding marriage, family, you know, whether you have to take two people into consideration or just one.
Right. What percentage of students are doing the MBA MA, and what percentage are doing the JD MA?
There are only 3 to 5 students each year in the class of 60 to 70 who are JDMA students.
So it's overwhelmingly Wharton.
Yeah, yeah. And okay. The JDMA is a fairly recent addition to our program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Lauder Institute has obvious and strong ties to, you know, the Estee Lauder corporations and companies and the Lauder family. Are there any opportunities for those interested in luxury goods, marketing, or the beauty industry as a result of these ties? Is there any other tie?
We have many graduates who are working for the Estee Lauder companies.
Really?
The first exposure that our students have to the company is when we do a class visit every May during their initial month here, and we go up to New York so they can learn about the holdings of the companies and how it's way more than just the Estee Lauder products, Clinique and Aramis and mm-hmm. Prescriptives, et cetera. And every year they hire one intern at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people should not come here because they want to get a job with Estee Lauder, but it certainly is a possibility. And there are ultimately always a couple of people every year who are interested in doing that. And there are others who have gotten their positions at Estee Lauder following their graduation from the Lauder Institute, but not immediately.
Right,
so
right.
It's a company that is interested in MBA candidates.
Right, and obviously it does value a global perspective. Otherwise, they wouldn't set this thing up.
Well, we have one person who's in France now with the Estee Lauder companies,
mm-hmm.
and he was in the Portuguese language program. And there are a couple people in China, and mm-hmm. there's another in Hong Kong. So yes, there are opportunities, and it's a wonderful company.
Great. Any advice for applicants to Wharton Lauder, and Wharton Lauder are the ones that you get the applications from. So any advice for them?
Well, I would encourage anybody to come visit, because anything that I say in a conversation online is not going to give nearly the depth and breadth of the experience that being in a classroom and meeting the other students who are here will give you. Anybody is welcome to get in touch with us and talk to me or to Megan Ellis, who works with me in admissions. There are information sessions at the school. There's an online visiting program. We give information sessions around the world, particularly during the summer preceding the application deadline. Megan is going to North Carolina next week for a presentation. I am going to Singapore and India in November for additional presentations. So we know that the population of people who are interested in water is somewhat self-selecting because of the language, but encourage people to read more, learn more about the program because it's unique and wonderful. There was just a 30th anniversary party in New York celebrating the 30 years since the announcement of the gift.
I saw the announcement about that online. It looked like it was a great party, but it was also it was 700 people, really? I didn't miss that part.
Kind of overwhelming for me because I knew everybody. So. I didn't have time to have much talking with anybody during that evening, but it's, you know, people love each other. There are lots of water marriages.
Oh, wow. Especially from 20 years ago, it must be kind of challenging to try to recognize some of the people.
Occasionally somebody changes.
Yeah. Occasionally. Yeah.
But I stay in touch with them, so I still know them. We have our own newsletter and database, and people come back here and do recruiting. And so, you know, it's not – the relationship does not end when they graduate, which is one of the very nice things about this program.
Right.
That it encourages and allows you to continue to stay in touch.
Actually, that was another point that Dr. Gann made at the presentation I attended in June. That one of the nice things about being part of the Lauder program is that on one hand, you have this much more intimate group of 60, 70 people that has these strong ties. On the other hand, you're part of a much larger Wharton community, Wharton alumni network. And so you have this balance. And he felt that was, again, for those people interested and willing to take on the additional work, he felt that was a major benefit of
the program.
It's
the best of both worlds. Because you have all the resources at Wharton and very international resources there, too, and you have the intimate community of the Lauder Institute.
Right. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. And you just partially answered my next question, which is, how can applicants learn more about Lauder?
We've got a website.
Yes. We'll link to it.
They're welcome to go look at that, which is www.lauder.wharton.upenn.edu. And people are more than welcome to contact the office if they want to if they have particular questions that are not answered by the website. In fact, we encourage it.
That's great. We'll include a link in the show notes at info.accepted.com/29 to Wharton admissions, even to Penn Law admissions, and, of course, to the Lauder Institute. And as I said earlier, we'll also link to our MBA Admissions A to Z special report. It's a free download. You can find all these links as well as the show notes for today's show at info.accepted.com/29. Listeners, thank you too for joining us today for our 29th episode. Special thanks to Dr. Marcy Bevan for her wonderful answers to the questions I posed. As always, listeners, please share your feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing linda@accepted.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. For your information, I'm strongly considering, I pretty much decided to increase the frequency of the show to once a week, at least through January, the January deadlines, with a possible brief break over the holidays. If you have any thoughts on that change, listeners, please let me know either by leaving a comment on the blog or by emailing me at linda@accepted.com. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again, I guess in 1 week, not in 2 weeks. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.